Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Off the Shelf. It's Saturday, November the 7th, 2009. I'm your host, Denise Turney, coming to you live from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Today, I am absolutely honored to bring to you Heather Covington. Just to tell you a little about her, Heather Covington is the founder of Literary Divas, Dizzygold Soul Network, and Dizzygold Soul Magazine. Heather is also the author of books, Personalities, Poems for Every Kind of Woman, The Dizzygold Way, Little Personalities, Little Literary Divas, and Personalities, Poems for Every Kind of Man. She has been active, just doing her thing, kicking up dust and making a name for herself in the book industry and in the entertainment industry at large for nearly a decade, if not longer. Heather Covington's Dizzygold Soul Networks, you can reach them online by going to www.dizzygold, and that's spelled DISILGOLD.com. Again, that's www.DISILGOLD.com. She has so much there. I encourage you to go check out her website and learn more about the Dizzygold Soul Network. But now we're going to hear from the woman herself. So first, welcome to Off the Shelf, Heather.
Good morning. How are you, Denise?
I am absolutely blessed and happy to be here with you.
I am totally blessed to be in here with you on your radio show. It's been so many years, and I just wanted to personally thank you for inviting me on your show. Thanks so much, Denise.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for coming. You are, for our listeners, there's going to be a wealth of information, and we have
Definitely. Tons
and tons of people who listen to Off the Shelf every week. So you are a marketing and promotion dynamo, and I want to make sure I get our listeners who will tune in today and over the coming weeks as the show, they can click on it and listen to historic shows and listen to you again and again, that they can gather a lot of good info from it. And I'm encouraging people to get a pen and a piece of paper to some of the questions. You might write down notes, things you can go back and do to help grow your own business.
Sure.
Because Heather does know how to generate revenue and create a buzz and get things happening. So again, to our listeners, pull up your favorite chair, sit back and get ready to enjoy a blessed and rewarding hour, one-on-one candid interview here with the one and only Heather Covington. And I don't say that mildly. If you go to her website, you'll see what I mean. I know when I passed first crossed, you had just released Personalities, Poems for Every Kind of Woman. I think that was...
I remember at the Harlem Book Fair, and you were there, and I distinctly remember you saying that you saw a blue book that looked like an ocean in hundreds of people's hands walking by in the Harlem Book Fair. I never forgot that. That meant so much to me because that let me know that many of the people who came out, I was able to reach them and also send them over to all the authors that I had met at the Harlem Book Fair.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them, there's a lady named Denise Turney. You've got to check out her book. She was my inspiration. When I used to visit AALBC.com, that's where I found Chastel.com Publishing,
mm-hmm.
and I was just overjoyed with your wonderful promotion. So you have been an inspiration for me from the start. So from mentor to mentor, I'm sending the kudos back to you, Denise Turney.
Well done
all these years.
Thank you. That was probably about seven years ago in 2002. And about your book, because I did purchase and read Personalities, Poems for Every Kind of Woman. The emotions, there is a lot of strong emotion in the book, and not everybody who creates something that you feel a lot of emotion in their work. You may enjoy their work and appreciate it, but you don't feel strong emotion coming up from yourself as you read it or listen to their music or watch a movie. But through your book, that did happen to me. I wanted to ask you, do you consider yourself, because there's poems and essays in the book, but do you consider yourself to be a poet first? You are doing so much now, but would you consider yourself, initially when I read your book, that's what I came away with, that you were a poet. Is that what you consider yourself to be first, a poet?
I have been a poet since day one, and I will die a poet. Poetry saved my life. As a young girl at 10 years old, I felt very awkward. I had crooked teeth. I was tall. I had long hair down to my waist that the girls used to put gum in and poke at me, you know, sitting down doing my homework. And I realized that a lot of that pain and anger that was developed within me as a young girl really resonated in my poetry. And I felt the need to release that pain and anger. But I changed the names and I alliterated the names and personified them. And that was the result of personalities, these divas, who are your most negative personalities you'll ever meet. People have said that when they read the book, they take away from reading that book how to face negativity, knock it down, and move on to success. Because I know we have to agree, Denise, you know, at the top of our careers, that we all are going to face negativity somewhere
right.
down the line. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to release it. I released it, I let it go, and I moved on. And while I still have that book to help ladies out there, you know, face their emotions and the negativity that they'll face, as a result, you can move on and do all the things that you dream of doing and not let any negativity or obstacles get in your way, because they'll always be there, those personalities. But people do change, though, right, Denise? You know, people
stay
the same way. So it just helps you to be stronger. And so that poetry book, you know, people come up to me and they say that they not only read the book, but they realize that I was aware that there were a lot of negative people who said that poetry does not sell. And so I defied that. I sold over 40,000 copies before I even came online. I was already a success story in my immediate neighborhood. I had already reached the media, all the top media that you hear about today. I had already reached them in some form or fashion. And so what I did was I took that negativity and I turned it into productivity, and I invited people to share in my journey and to help them not only overcome negativity, but to always stay true to yourself. Never let go of your passion, no matter how much a poetry book makes. If you stay true to yourself, it will sell. And people always buy that book at every signing.
Wow.
That is the number one selling book. It's like a quiet storm all
yes.
by itself.
Because it does.
Yes.
Your writing is very it's honest, candid and honest, not just candid, but also honest. And I think it's that the reader picks up what you might have been feeling when you were writing the pieces in the book, and then it generates, if they have had similar feelings or experiences,
mm-hmm.
it generates that in them. That's what I think it might be causing it. I wanted to ask you next, what inspired you to start writing? Was it to sit down, like you said, and to get out these feelings that you were having based on some unwanted experiences that you had as a child?
Right. I'm so happy you brought that up, because I've never really revealed this in interviews. I've kind of like gone straight through all of that negativity in my life. But to be even more honest, you know, growing up was very difficult for me. I grew up in the projects. As soon as I stepped outside, someone wanted to fight me. Someone wanted to pull my hair out. Someone wanted to scratch up my face or take a razor and mark me. And so what I did was, and seeing my friends go through these experiences, you know, get stabbed, a few were killed, I stayed upstairs in fear. And there was nothing to do because, you know, they don't give us anything to do when you're living in the projects. It's like an eyesore, spilled graffiti, urine in the elevators. No one cares about us. There's no extracurricular programs for the children and the youth. So my mother happened to be a college you know, graduate of Tennessee University, and she had a book in the library, and it happened to be a book with Langston Hughes poetry.
Okay.
I opened it up, I started reading it, and I started reciting the poetry, and I discovered that I didn't have to stutter for the rest of my life, that if I recited his poetry daily, I could teach myself to sing talk and get over my insecurity speaking so that other kids would not tease me. And by 10 years old, I no longer had the speech impediment. My mother introduced a straightening comb to my hair. It was no longer this wild, you know, you know, mess that you see in the book. Some of the illustrations I drew of my hair a mess and real long and wild. That's me. That's me going through a cycle, like the stages of a caterpillar, you know, through the cocoon.
Right.
There's a lifeline, and you see this fishing line that goes through all the illustrations, and a lot of gold, because that's the beginning of Dizigold. You know, there's like a lot of symbolism to Dizigold, which is a bridge for diamond, silver, and gold, the business, because it encompasses those emotions as a young girl. And so now, today, I'm able to kind of like hold on to that ocean of poetry as a lifeline and let people know that, yes, poetry saved my life. And if it wasn't for me reciting poems every day, I probably would have been a statistic like some of my very best friends. You know, I get choked up because they're gone now. And just from going outside one day and some girls, you know, didn't like the way they looked. And stabbing them, and you know, as a result, there's so many women that are marked like this. Even Mary J. Blige, she has a mark on her face, and that's a war mark from her days in Yonkers, you know, dealing with, you know, youth gangs and just getting through life. And you don't ever want to return to that. You know, like I try to avoid it in interviews.
Right.
But it's good therapy when you write your feelings down as a poet and you're able to move on. You get stronger. Poetry makes you stronger. So it's kind of like being a method actor. You're utilizing your poetry to live your life in daily motion through a poem.
I'm so glad you shared that. There was a gentleman that I had interviewed, I forget his name just now, here on Off the Shelf, and it was probably maybe 2 years ago, but poetry to him, and you know, you're really, it's fortunate that you took that opportunity that your mother presented to you. Of course, you could have just, you know, not even read the book, but you did take that chance. When life gives us these chances, we often don't recognize maybe how powerful that chance is, but to see more and more young people in these situations, because I also grew up in the projects, be given an opportunity.
Wow.
You see a chance placed before you to either deal with some feelings or whatever. Somebody gives you a book. Somebody gives you something you can go into music, whatever. A lot of us don't take those opportunities. And then again, a lot of us do, and we see the result of it. But for
You're
people.
You're so right, Denise, because it's like as I got older, all those poems were in a treasure chest. When I tell you a true treasure chest, that's what it was. It was filled with some old costume jewelry that I got as a little girl, some clothing I had made with my hand, and poems. And I took these poems out, and I said, you know what? I want to publish these poems, but no one would help me. No one taught me how to publish. I would go out to everyone's book signing, and it was like a big mystery. People were very successful, but they didn't really want to share the formula.
Formula.
I made up my own formula for success, and I called it the Principles of Success Formula. And I let people know that this is what I stand for. I let them know that I will find out the steps, and I did. And not only did I find out the steps, I shared it with thousands of authors right here in my local community. As a result, many people are self-published authors. They're thriving now. And they don't need even the mainstream market. There are so many authors off the shelf, Denise Turney, that are just basically doing the steps that I have instilled. It makes me so proud. They're doing workshops. They know the formula. It's no longer a secret, but you have to believe in your product. It starts with a quality product, and the success comes. You don't have to beg for it. You don't have to borrow. And, you know, you don't have to steal, but you do have to go after your readers and your audience, kind of like in your book, A Long Walk Up, which I read over the weekend. And there's this line in your book. It's called The Long Walk Up. This is one of my favorite books by you, Denise, and it says, "We didn't hear you with fancy words, long, flowery speeches or visits to your villages just so we could shake your hand. No, no," she said, her head shaking again. "We heard you with action." And so when you take that action and you apply it to your soul, your heart, your mind, people want to support you. You don't have to be the most famous person. You don't have to have the most money. You don't have to own the most materialistic things. All you need is one quality book that you believe in. If it's poetry, let that be your symphony. And people will support you, and they'll come back, Denise. They'll come back. You'll always have that lifeline. You'll never have to fear failure when you write that first book.
Oh, so true.
Mm-hmm.
So true to our listeners who are hopeful, want to be writers, or looking for that book, and important to write also from your soul, which is what mm-hmm. what you know you pick up in your books. I wanted to ask you, you've also written Little Personalities, and the cover of your books are so wonderful. The little
Thank
girl
so
on the
much.
Cover of Little Personalities.
Oh, that's by Marion Designs, who is
okay.
number one book designer in the world. I used him first.
All right.
Before he went on to do all those beautiful book covers you see selling millions of books now.
Okay.
That was one of the first ones to utilize him. So thanks so much for that shout out to Marion Designs.
All right. So you did mm-hmm. you've written a book for women, personalities, little personalities,
mm-hmm.
and from the perspective of men. Did you interview men and went for the personalities for men, and how did you get the material for the personalities, for the little personalities, for the little kids?
Okay, I have a confession. Okay, I have never told anyone this. So I'm taking a deep breath here, Denise.
Okay.
Little Personalities are the poems that I utilized as a teacher all these years to teach thousands of kids how to read in school, after school, various programs I volunteered for that have taught them value, self-respect. And they gave me an A+. These kids tell me, that's the poem, Miss Covington. And so I took all those poems and put them in the book, and I vowed that one day I would illustrate every poem and turn it into a book. And so the children's book series is underway. I've been working on this for over 5 years, Denise, and I'm proud to say that all those poems are going to be converted into little children's stories.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be 50 books. And it's going to launch a new division of Dizigo Publishing for young people, my little darlings that kept me motivated all these years.
Okay.
No one knew. It was my little kindergartner.
Okay.
And then as far as the men, oh, you're really going to make me give away some things. You know, I don't have my bodyguards anymore, but when I did do a signing in Harlem,
uh-huh.
I had enemies. I had actually a bodyguard that worked with Beyonce and Jay-Z. Yes, it was that bad. And I didn't realize that the content that you write in a book could stir men up to hatred. And we're not talking Karen Steffens and the stuff she talks about celebrities.
Uh-huh.
My book is much worse than Karen Steffens' concepts, ideas that she talks about. It's more in-depth than Steve Harvey's Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man. Everyone knows this on the underground,
uh-huh.
but no one is bothering me. It's like they're protecting me. But if you've heard of a lady named Ali Shahrazad, she was banned from some bookstores at one time because of the content. So I'm surprised that I've gotten this far, and no one has attacked me, but someone did at a bookstore signing. I spared Dr. Ian Smith. They wanted me to sign with him when he first started his novelhood with the Blackbird Papers. And we were supposed to sign together. I decided to be a no-show, which it could have possibly launched my career in a different perspective because media was there. And reason being, I didn't want to draw negativity and attention to Dr. Ian Smith alongside me signing. So it's very controversial. I'm talking about the most negative male personality. I've personified them. I've given them names, the waiting to do you man, the liar, the listening man, the hand dancer. One, even the guy who, Jamie Foxx, he has the rain man, and that's one of the characters in my book.
Oh, boy, so yeah.
It started trouble
friends.
To me.
You
we don't want to start trouble.
You probably made friends with some women, but not guys.
Oh,
yeah.
The men love me, though. You know, they say, you know, you did us in the book, but for some reason it's a cute book. It's helping us to own up to our personalities.
Okay.
I'm just addressing the cheaters. I want more love. I want black couples, and not just black couples. I want people to go back like it was, even though I wasn't even born in the 1950s. My mother told me that's when love was real. Men respected their women. They treated them like queens. And if there was more of that, I guarantee you there'll be more successful men, because behind every successful man is a great woman.
Yeah, that's what they say. Yeah. I want to ask you, the Dizigo way, and glad to hear that you don't need bodyguards anymore, but that's a good thing. The Dizigo way, it shows people, Heather, how to make their dream of being a published writer real. I just want to focus on this. And last week we had Dolores Thornton, who's another marketer.
Oh, I love her. That's
Guru. She was on last week. I know you published a book in 2004, The Dizigo Way.
Mm-hmm.
What did you learn, because you've done it yourself, not just research, you've also done it. What did you learn about the book business after you published your first book that you didn't know before you sat down to become a published author?
Okay. What I found, Denise, is that self-publishing is very simple. I don't know why I spent over 10 years, you know, from high school until I wrote the book, trying to figure out how to self-publish. That's the easiest part. That's the simplest part. You write down the steps. You compartmentalize in your own home office, and you use trays. You label the trays for the steps. You put the papers, the applications, the forms that you need when you need to fill out your ISBN, when you need to get your barcode, whatever it is that you have to do, your copyright, all of that is lined up from the top to the bottom in your home office.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot fail if you, you know, just basically order and structure your day as a publisher. That's the easiest part. You even put the phone number of the person doing your book covers. You put the phone number of the person doing your typesetting, your editor. This is basic 101. This is the easiest part. I did not devote an entire book to the process because that only takes less than 20 steps.
Right, right.
Okay? The hardest part of self-publishing is promoting your book. When you have mainstream authors who don't respect the self-published authors, or the self-published authors that don't respect the print-on-demand authors, you don't have unity.
Yeah.
And so you're not getting the quotes and the blurbs to help the self-published author. You're not getting the quotes or the blurbs to help the print-on-demand author. What you're getting are self-contained clicks, and that shuts everybody down because people are looking at mainstream authors who need support, love, nurturing, too, as, you know, upper hand, you know, the elite.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not. They have to work just as hard
The
print-on-demand authors.
Yes.
Because I'm all three. I am a print-on-demand author, a self-published author, a mainstream published author. I have pseudonym books out. I choose not to reveal them because I'm protecting my domain. I know what clicks can do. I know when people want to review your work and tear you down, they'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to survive in this game.
Right.
So I'm teaching people basically how to get organized in the book, what they need. Everything they need in their office is in that book.
Okay.
Do you focus
a lot on the marketing and promoting aspect?
Right.
Okay, you do a lot of that in
the
book.
A lot of that. There's a diary in there. It's almost like a media marketing diary on how I promoted my books to the mainstream. I know people, how did I get to become the publicity director of the Harlem Book Fair? It started off with 20,000 people attending. When I finished my reign with that, because, you know, you have to keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
You can't let something become you that you don't own. You have to keep moving, help here, keep building the community. By the time the Harlem Book Fair, the promotions for that were done, over 80,000 people attended.
Wow.
And that was the year I invited Michael Basin. I hosted and introduced a seminar with Michael Basin. He surprised me, came out to my event the next day. I took a chance. I wasn't even sure if he was coming. He came out and addressed all 500 people outdoors for educational event because that's where my mission is, always giving back to the kids. So I find that marketing is not so much the book. This is what I'm trying to tell folks. It's your passion and your purpose.
Okay.
You know, if you write a book, if you don't have a purpose for writing it, it gets lost. When I wrote my poetry book, it was to address women as myself.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, I reached hundreds and thousands of you know, writers and poets and women who basically shared in this negativity drain that we had to just drown, you know.
Okay.
And so when we gathered, I had beauty retreats with that. You know, there's a lot of things you can do to promote your book, but if you don't have a purpose for it, people will know. So,
okay.
You know, with the Dizigo way, now I'm helping writers and poets who they don't necessarily want to be rich. They just want to write, bless their hearts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
These are the people I want to connect with. You know, everyone is not going to be a million-dollar success story the next day.
Right, yeah, and that's something I wanted to ask you about. For this book, just on the Disigo way, in wrapping up discussing it, it sounds like you said it's more like a diary format. So you took your personal experiences and you just show people, this is what worked for me,
mm-hmm.
and it's proven, it's, and you've written certainly several books. You know it works, and so you write it in a way almost as if you're there with the reader,
right.
showing them what works.
It's the first self-publishing novel. That's what it really was, a self-publishing novel, documenting the history of the African-American literary community on the turn of the new millennium. And that book was so important and vital because it helped me get the book deal with Literary Divas. That one book alone, it was so successful, I didn't even have to finish the book deal. Here I was stressing, oh, my God, I have three more books to write.
Mm-hmm.
It's still going. It is in every bookstore. It's in every library. It's a historical book. You know, I can now relax a little bit because I see what mainstream authors go through with the book deals. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You do not want editors sending you every minute to make corrections and do. It is the most grueling experience. God bless mainstream authors.
Yeah, and then they don't have as much control, like, over their book
yes.
covers. And you said they have to do a book tour or whatever, the marketing.
Oh my gosh.
And they have to put their own money, I think,
mm-hmm.
most of them, unless they're like the Stephen Kings and the
right.
J.K. Rowlings and the
mm-hmm.
Toni Morrisons and Terry McMillans. Then they are given money. But even Terry had to hustle
yes.
at the start of her career until she started selling, you know, like a million copies
right.
of her books.
And then even with that, you know, you get people who want to write off of your success and don't want you to succeed. So
mm-hmm.
now you're dealing with frivolous lawsuits and things of that nature. And this is why the Disigo way is so important, because I'm showing people how to design you, own your success. It's copyright information. I learned how to trademark all of my entities without the use of a lawyer. That's very important, because lawyers can lead you down the wrong path. And they work together.
And they're very expensive.
Very expensive. And they will let you hang yourself. And they will take all your money until there's nothing left, and they work with the other lawyers on the other mainstream authors in. And these are things that authors don't know that I'm able to enlighten them about on my workshops and warn them. You're not safe with anyone. The only person you should trust as a published author or as a publisher is yourself and
yeah.
God.
Yeah, no, yeah. You.
And your fans, of course.
Yeah, because then you can get yourself into a lot of trouble when you get somebody. 100% to get them control over something, 100%. We've seen people get in trouble financially by just turning everything over to an accountant, and then they look up one day rather surprised. So, no, you have to keep your hand in it and everything that is involved you or your business. I definitely do agree with that. You don't want to look up one day and see $10 million gone.
Right.
And
they don't know how to deal with ghostwriters. You know, with ghostwriters, you know, Terry Wood's case, you have to put everything in writing, notarize it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, verbal statements are very powerful. If you verbally say you want to work with someone, that holds weight. And so you have to document everything. And copywriting your work the first time is not enough. You have to send a finished product
yes.
as soon as it's done. These are things authors don't know. They don't understand publishing is a business. It's not a game.
No, it is. I would hope that now, and with the interviews and the different books that are out there and the numbers of people who are independently or self-publishing, that that folks would know that it is a business, which leads me into my next question. I listened to an interview earlier this week on Blog Talk Radio, Pat George,
oh,
the author of the Sister Belle. Oh,
George
she
Walker.
Is so funny. Oh, my goodness.
Comedian author.
Oh, my goodness. And she was talking about how a lot of writers present themselves almost like people in the hip-hop movement with all this bling-bling, like they're making so much money, but really they have another job on the side. I wanted to ask you.
Talk about. Oh, I love it. Go ahead, Denise, because I bring it on, honey.
I wanted to ask you if you think some writers, when Pat had mentioned that, and I've heard other writers say things, do you think they glamorize, and I think this could hurt a new writer or somebody just coming into the business, that they glamorize the book business to the point where a yet unpublished writer begins to think this is a place where you come out with one book and then
the next day or week or month you're a millionaire, mm-hmm. and you're just going on a whirlwind book tour, staying in these five-star hotels, selling trucks and trucks of books. And like I say, within months or a year, mm-hmm. you're the next J.K. Rowling, which that does not often happen.
Right.
Well, that only happened once. But do you think that when writers do that, they could possibly be hurting another?
Well, it's called selling out. It's called selling out. And what I know about a lot of authors is that a lot of their personalities don't even match the persona that they have online. And with the book business, just like the music business, it's survival of the fittest. You're either going to be the punk or you're going to take home the chunk. You know, I hate to say it so explicitly, but it's writing is not for punks. When you want to sell your book, that's why you're publishing it. If you want to write your book, and you just want friends and family to have your book, then you write your book for that audience and don't publish it. The minute you say you're going to publish your book, it's because you want to sell massive quantities. Okay? So
mm-hmm.
keeping that in mind, your mentality has to change overnight. You have to address your audience, let them know you're confident, let them know that you're successful. You know, I'm probably adding another syllable in there because I'm so excited here. But, you know, you have to let them know you're successful. Let them know what you're doing next and be confident because it's a rat race out there. And people step all over you, and sometimes authors step over all,
yeah.
you know, each other because they're desperate to get to the top. But see, Denise, what happens is if you are in this game and you go and you rise up to the top real fast, and people say your work doesn't match the quality of the amount of money you're making, you fall hard.
Mm.
And with that fall hard, you know, there's no comeback. Once the hype and the controversy dies, there's no longevity. You're done. And
mm.
so it's a quick ride, but the average person makes $1 million in their lifetime.
Right.
And that money goes so quickly. I mean,
oh,
I begin to tell you that a six-figure book deal is nothing more than a salary of your highest paid professional in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers make $100,000 a year. This is no secret. I'm
right.
not impressed when I hear six-figure book deals because I know with a house and basic expenses, children, college, you know, loans, if you have children going to college, that is just the icing on the cake. And so, yes, you want to attract the young hip-hop audience, urban audience who's attracted to that, but will you have them when they're ready to go to college and they're ready to, you know, move on to bigger and better things? Will that same audience be there for you in a troupe? Or, you know, it's like LL Cool J being there when we grew up, and
right.
now here he is an older man, and we see where he's at. Would it be, you know, self-righteous to keep doing hip-hop? No, he's doing other things. He's
right.
got a clothing line.
Right.
He's got other things going on. So I feel for the authors who fall into that trap.
Mm.
But I really wish there were more role models, like in Literary Divas, that hold on to that substance, hold on to that integrity.
Right.
And don't chastise authors because, you know, they got published, but, you know, kind of like chastise them, how many books have you sold? Because that's not what it's about, because that author tomorrow could be the next $1 million, you know, selling author, and they may not be loud about it.
Right.
I know authors who are selling more books than the mainstream authors. This one person, I went on Twitter, because my account is twitter.com /Dizigold,
uh-huh.
and Dizigold Mag, and I went on there to let people know that there's a local author right in my neighborhood, and let me tell you, Denise, she went and she ordered, I kid you not, 1,000 books. She gave a seminar, a workshop, and she divided up her seminar into just 5 workshops. The people came out because she did local ads,
mm-hmm.
gave out flyers, newsletters, approached people. She sold out all of her tickets for her workshops and gave her books away for free.
Wow.
What does that make her? Do the math, Denise. 1,000 times $100 per
yeah.
person coming out for valuable information because
wow.
they're inspired. And more. She did less work and less time, and she's enjoying what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's count. You know, that is what counts for authors, the longevity. So, you know,
I agree. I agree. If you're gonna be in it, any business for the long haul, you can either have a little blimp in your career where you know for maybe 1 to 3 years you're really shining, or you could become like a Charles Dickens or Richard
mm-hmm.
Wright,
somebody who, even when you're in your grave, people are still reading and enjoying.
Yes, people respect
and
it.
And connecting
with the
work.
If they don't respect the work, they're not going to be there at the end. They may be there because you're making money now, but was your work about quality, or was it just, you know, a sellout work, you know? And this is why I have confrontations with some people in the urban community, because I decided to, you know, do my own little urban book,
mm-hmm.
but to annihilate the word nigga, because I didn't want that word in my book. And I wanted to show that you could write a gangster lit novel without use of that word. The title is symbolic of the word to kill, the word, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's like reminiscent of To Kill a Mockingbird. People got it who read the book, but those who are still fixated on the title and think that if phonetically the book is called To Kill a Nigga, they changed the title to sound like something else.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to let them stay stuck, but when you open up the book, the history of the Bronx is in the book, and it's so vivid, it's so much detail that they're saying that I am possibly one of the most historical urban writers out because of the details and the homage that I pay to, you know, just the details of authenticity. You know, people write quick books.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very detailed book, a lot of history in it, you know? And so I have some problems. You know, I go to urban workshops, and I have some enemies.
Okay.
But I had to lay it down. I have to be about standards. I have to be about quality, because I want my legacy to live on as a quality writer who, no matter what genre she writes from, it is emanating the true person, my true soul, and who I am. And that's a quality writer like Denise Turney.
Yeah, I think that's what you started out. You started out with your first book doing. You have published almost a book a year from
mm-hmm.
2002 through 2006.
Yes.
And I know you said you're working on the children's
yes.
book
series.
They're
all done. But we just got to get those illustrations going.
Okay, so that's the next thing. Are there any other books that you're working on?
There are about 100 more short story novellas. And what I'm trying to do basically is get some co-writers, because I like to bring out some more authors but collaborate with them.
Okay.
So I feel that if I can find quality authors that I'm helping to nurture and bring out to these workshops, I can publish them one day if they've got what it takes. And
okay.
So that's my next goal.
How do our listeners here at Off the Shelf, I've heard you mention your workshops. Those who wanted to see a list of your workshops or even participate
mm-hmm.
in them, how can they learn more about your workshops? Do they go to your website?
Yes, they can go. If they can't come out to New York City, they can go online at literaryviva.com. That is my official author website, which syndicates something called literarydish.com. It's a blog. And I blog on it. I promote people and also keep up to date with some of the things. Like, people just found out through an email blast that I was on the radio show. So there should be a lot of people plus with your audience. And so when they go there, they could click on, and just for $25, they get not only an autograph book from my DizzyGoldBooks.com publishing store, they get all the essays and articles and videos that they get access to that. And it's online. And so they get all of that each month. They have access for 1 month. And they can basically go in there, read the articles, see the videos, and each month there are more and more things added, so they'll want to buy another book.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm giving to get back, you know? That's how I operate. I feel if you give, you get back more blessings in return. And as a result, you know, people know that I'm not jiving them. I give them quality, and I expect that back. So when my visitors come over to the website at literarydiva.com, they tell me, they email me and say, can you add this? So now I'm going live, Denise. I'm finally coming out of my shell, and a TV show is coming.
Okay.
But I'm nervous because, you know, I never show my face. I just hate it.
Oh, you're beautiful. When is this TV show? When do you think?
It's launching next week. I'm going to do my first show. Like, there's some video footage, but you could tell I'm nervous. And I don't know where that comes from. Maybe that's that project mentality, you know,
okay.
Like, what are you looking at?
Okay. You don't seem that way, Heather. I got to tell you, you seem like a confident, very loving person. What's the name of your TV show? Let our listeners know.
Okay.
And how can they go check it out?
Okay. It's called Living the Literary Diva's Life.
Mm-hmm.
And there won't be any bling or anything. It's just a one-woman show where I'm addressing the audience. And if you ask me a question, you send a question to DizzyGold at AOL.com, I'll take some of those questions and answer them on the show. So if you send me questions on self-publishing or marketing, I'll answer them on the show, and it will play for the whole week. And so you can just basically email me, and I will answer any question you have. I'm sure I could find it in the physical way. It's in there. And
okay.
I'll refer to the page. You know, I'm here to help. I'm here to assist. And, of course, I'm going to be letting them know what media, you know, authors need media. It's like something's going wrong. You know, you have all these blogs, but they're not letting everyday people, you know,
right.
in. It's just all about celebrities. And
how long is Living the Literary Diva? How long is the television show? Is it an hour format or half an hour?
Yeah, it's going to be about 30 minutes, very succinct, because that's a marketing tip that I give people. It'd be very succinct and short. It might even be a little less than that. And it's really part of the self-publishing and marketing series. But what I'll do is it'll be as long as necessary. You know, if more questions come in, we'll make the show longer. But you'll see me on one of my leather couches in the house, because I have, like, a very big physical publishing house here. There's a lot of rooms.
Okay.
So there's no telling what is going to be on the shows. I may be dressed up sometimes.
Okay.
And, you know, if I have to put on some bling, Denise, I'll do that to attract the younger audience.
All right, all right. So, and they can get there either through literarydiva.com.
Yes.
Or through dizigo.com, either
yeah,
way.
Yeah, you can go to any of those sites. It's three sites. You can go to dizigo.com, you can go to literarydish.com, or you can go to literarydiva.com, and all of the things that I discuss and blog about are syndicated on all three sites automatically.
Okay.
You know, I've been doing some homework and learning how to do websites, and so it's wonderful. 2009 is a new year, and we're looking forward to 2010, making it more interactive, you know, and just getting more people to realize that there are people like your show that can help them get out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we plan on doing, like making a listing on the sidebar of websites that the authors can go to, because that's what they keep saying. Where do we go?
Mm-hmm.
How do we get more promotion? You know, we won awards. What do we do now? And they may not know that there's a great radio show like Denise Turney's show. So we want to get those banners on there so people, when they're doing their media campaigns, they automatically know, put Denise Turney on. Dolores Thornton was also wonderful support for the authors.
Oh, yeah.
She expressed to me that her husband had gone through some difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
So we go through personal things, you know. It's not going to be a perfect format. I've lost my father just last year, and my mother is undergoing dialysis now. And with that, that gives me strength. I have to keep going. I can't let, you know, because every year there's a personal travesty.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I'm finding with authors. And it's sad because you hear it on the forums, but we have to be strong because we've got books. We've got to get them out there, and so we've got to keep moving. I want to help the authors keep moving and not give up.
You are one marketing and promotion girl. I'm going to talk next. When did you start? And you have my blessings on your on the on
Thank
your
you
on
so
your
much
with love. Your family and your mother. When did you start Dizigold Soul Magazine? You are just doing so many things.
It seems like a lot, but it's all very natural, like second skin to me. You know, I started it back in 2003. I had called on a lot of different resources, and unfortunately, I have to be honest, a lot of those resources let me down.
Mm.
You know, you support others, but sometimes you don't get back the support. And I understand that when people want to go off and do what they do. So with that negativity, I was able to, in 1 week, launch the first print, 100-page print publication of Dizigold Soul Magazine. And pretty much distribute it, get a street team, advertise it. It was phenomenal how I was able to just take negativity and just launch it. And so I welcome negativity because I think it makes you stronger.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I'm going to prove you wrong.
Oh, yeah. 100 pages.
I
had four sisters, T.C. Roy. I called her up. I said, look, T, you've got...
He's another one. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. What a doll. I said, you know what? I understand you're having a child, but you know what? I need your 5-star reviews. I don't want to promote 2-star, 3-star books. Let's get those 5-star books that you guys have reviewed. Let's put them in the magazine. And I guess she thought I was kidding because 1 week before the publication, She said, "Do you still want those 5-star reviews?" I said, "Yes." "No, we're waiting for you." So she really took it seriously. And, of course, we had to wait another 2 weeks, but that was okay because I was behind myself. And she sent those 5-star reviews. I published every 5-star review that year from Raw Sisters.
Wow.
In the magazine, in color. And then Tony Rose. Tony Rose is like the number one African-American publisher, promoter.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Do you want to take the back cover?" Because I got Omar Tyree for the front cover. So when you flip the magazine, Tony Rose is on the back of Publishing Mogul, and there's Omar Tyree on the front, who's been there since the beginning of my career, you know,
okay.
helping, supporting in every way, fashion, or form. Even though some of his books, I don't always give top reviews.
Okay.
So we go at it. There's like a little rivalry.
And
people now know it. It's out in the open. They sense it at the events that there's an issue. And that's the only issue. You know, Omar wants to do well. He wants
mm-hmm.
to succeed.
Oh, absolutely.
He's sensitive. If a book is not a 5-star book, it just floors him. He comes
oh, okay.
back with another book. So the book he has out now, the 12 Dirty Men or Dirty Old Men,
mm-hmm.
is out of this world. So I'm just being quiet. You know, I have it up on the site because he, you know, you don't. People don't realize that the authors are very, very sensitive.
Oh, yes, yeah.
It hurts, you know.
Yeah.
When they get a 3-star review, it tears them up. So,
oh, my goodness.
You know, that's why I don't pretty much put negative reviews up.
Right.
If I don't like a book, I basically will just let the author know how they can improve.
Uh-huh.
And I tell them, listen, send your best work, and that's the work that gets on board.
Okay.
Simple.
Okay,
yeah.
and that's a good approach. For our listeners here at Off the Shelf who don't know Heather Covington's Digital Soul Magazine, I just want to let you know that it has so much material there. There's a wealth of information. She's got a fashion review. She does movie reviews, celebrity interviews. She has a book club. Community news and hot celebrity photos. It just offers so much at the magazine. And you can reach Heather, her TV show, which is launching next week, and check out her magazine and find out more about her workshops. Also send her questions that you want her to respond to on her TV show. You can get there through either literarydish.com, literarydiva.com, or you can get there through disagold.com, which is disilgold.com. So you see her marketing and promotion expertise at work there. She's coming at 3 different angles. You find her from one source, and then you just go in to the main hub for her business.
Oh, I love you, Denise. And you know what? I'm sending you a surprise. I have a confession. And so should I tell it to the audience, to your millions of listeners?
Sure, please do.
God's 24-hour makeover,
okay.
The emergency repair contract to complete joy. I had to take that book apart. What happened was someone who I really, really entrusted, who had ordered the book and sent me a blurb, suddenly, for some reason or another, wanted a refund of the book after I had gotten the cover done for over $1,200.
Wow.
And reason being, they said I didn't send the book. I said, that's because I redid the cover over with your blurb.
Mm-hmm.
And it was going to be a surprise. You know, people have to have faith.
Right.
And I had already given out all the pre-orders, and so this was going on another print run of the original edition
mm-hmm.
that I just wanted to tweak a bit. You know when you have a good book and people are telling you to tweak it, this is the one?
Right.
And so, Denise, you sent me such a beautiful message of inspiration. I just want you to know when God's 24-hour makeover reappears next year, and I'm not setting a date this time because, you know, too many things somehow fall on the dates that I set. So that's going to be a surprise.
Oh,
you
well,
are on the blurb of my cover.
Oh, thank you so much.
God's 24-hour. It's a brand new cover.
Okay.
It's a surprise. And I also have another surprise for your audience. I'm sending Millionaire Marketing. That's coming out next year, too.
Okay.
I'm sending free copies to your show so that when you do your show, you'll have free books to give away.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm sure our listeners will. Oh, wow. Thank you, Heather. Thank you, Heather, to Heather Covington.
How can authors, and you're already doing so much, but how can authors have their works, you said on a television show they can call in,
yes,
and but to have it in the magazine, there's so much in your magazine, what do they do to have their work spotlighted in Dizzygold Soul magazine?
Well, all they have to do basically is just go online to dizzygold.com. And there's an advertising link there now for submit news. You can submit news for as little as $25. And then what I do, I send you a book. That's optional. Some people choose to get the books, and some people just want to submit the news. So it's affordable means to submit news, but it's media friendly. It's all about connecting, you know, having an online print publication that basically connects the media so that people can find resources like Chastel.com, AmberBooks.com, ALBC.com, because you'd be surprised. A lot of people in New York don't know about other city websites. It seems like everything's centralized in each state. So I want to, like, bring national websites on board. And just, you know, stop on by. It's just $25. And for the magazine, everyone is welcome. All you have to do is just send your media kit, your best photo. I know you said that you don't take photos.
Yeah.
But guess what? I'm coming out to you, and I'm going to get the photo. But
oh,
I got to say, I'm the photographer. I'm going to come out to you, Denise.
Oh, you can come to me.
Yeah,
oh, my goodness.
A little TLC out there, and we're going to find you.
Okay.
Yes, at the Harlem Book Fair.
Oh,
next
boy.
Year.
Oh,
we're
boy.
We're going to get that photo. Because
okay.
That has been the same photo since 2001.
I know. I don't take, I got to tell you, I hardly ever really, in my whole life, I don't take a lot of.
And you don't really need to, because the books speak for themselves. My goodness.
You, oh, well,
you
thank
are the
you.
One that
thank
meant
you.
For me. So.
I wanted to ask you, because we only have 8 minutes left, and this interview
uh-huh.
has flown by, and I had so many questions that I wanted to ask you. Do you travel extensively? You promote so well. I mean, anybody goes on the Internet and just
yes.
plug in Google Heather Covington and look how much comes up. Do you travel extensively and
yes.
keep your readers and listeners engaged in your, you know, your work? You do travel a lot?
Yeah, that's another little secret. I'm a very private person because I had a problem one time where I showed up at an event that was widely promoted, and someone was there that just didn't agree with something or another. You know, I don't want to go into detail,
mm-hmm.
but I decided to make my events private at heather-covington.com, and
okay.
my fans have access to that, and people email me. But the whole idea is going on to local online news where people list events and inviting yourself.
Oh,
there's nothing
okay.
wrong with saying, hey, here's my biography,
mm-hmm.
and I come out to your event and be a guest speaker or present. Swallow the pride. Get out there. And so when I flew out to L.A. by myself, when, you know, Magic Johnson and Omarosa and all the literary stars were out there, people were shocked. They said, did she come out to L.A. by herself? Yes. I'm very known to go out on weekends, take a train, anywhere I
okay.
need to go. I will take a train across the United States of America if I can. Anywhere there's an event, I will go on the weekend, and I come back the same day.
Wow.
You know, you have to get used to the rigor. You have to come outside yourself, not be afraid. I used to be afraid to travel alone. I'm not afraid because I walk with God, you know. And
there
I
you go.
Like
there you go.
He's guiding me, and when he calls me, I'm going. I had to be there to host that event in L.A. It wound up being a historical event, and I will keep going. I'll fly overseas if there's an audience that wants my books, if I can show up. I don't always charge an honorarium fee. I don't always charge, you know, people to book me. I'll bring books, and you get a chance to sell your books to new people, new faces.
Right.
And
oh, my.
That's what you have to do as an author. You have to come out of your own face, like Oprah said. Get out of your own skin, you know, and take risks.
Yeah, no,
you
I think
be the next million-dollar author and don't
yeah.
even know it because you're not getting up.
Right. You do have to travel.
Yes.
I would say that that is a great way to grow your business. I think anybody in any industry, any business knows
mm-hmm.
you've got to travel because even though people see you on the Internet, there's something different when people see you in person. So
right.
I think that you do have to get out and connect with people and travel and meet people in person. I have to ask you this. We got 6 minutes
okay,
left. Sorry. With your background and your experience, and you definitely are a very focused person, have you ever thought about becoming a literary agent? Your ability, your sales skills are very strong. So have you ever thought about trying that out, or you say, nah,
someone
I'm not interested?
Someone told me that. You know, every book you've promoted, they've been noticing something about the books. They've all been picked up by Black Expressions Book Club. which while we have a tab for people to buy books, you know, from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, because that encourages more people to buy, in a minute I'm telling people Black Expressions to support the number one book club worldwide, because something is happening. The authors are also getting awards. Peace in the Storm Publishing, Elisa Gabriel, almost all the authors who were just on it for Unity Guild Awards won awards for the African Literary Awards Show. I'm so honored that media supports the very people on Divigo. Sometimes I tear. I break down because it's so much hard work.
Right.
And, you know, like why I enjoy what I do.
Uh-huh.
I know how much the authors go through, you know.
Right.
And it just fills me, you know, the support. I'm so humble because
right.
there's so many wonderful authors and the people who just take a chance and read their books and support them the way everyone supported me. You know, like when I started my journey, it wasn't about how I looked. No one knew how I looked.
Mm-hmm.
It was about the work and the content. And so I don't want to change that. I don't want to go and become this, you know, hip-hop bling woman online to get the attention. But unfortunately, that's where media is going. Media
right.
is only interested in if you got gams, you got legs, you know, boobs, everything. They're not interested in the quality of your work. They want to know who you slept with. They want to know your background as far as your relationships with people. Everything has changed, like, overnight, you know.
Yeah, I think, though, in time, not just in time, but always, I think if you do have quality work, I think it speaks for itself.
We need quality media like you. We need more quality media, more sisters and brothers helping one another and unifying. We need to stop tearing each other down because if it hurts me when I see that, you know, I've seen negativity online. If it's hurting me, it's got to be hurting the authors.
Right.
You know, that are getting the negativity and feeling it. And so we went through this whole show without even talking about the issues that you and I know. You know what's going on out there. But we're going to change that. We're going to stay unified. We built this together. We are on a new mission. You know, when 2010 comes, you know, that might be the very last year for the Unity Guild Awards. Because I've
wow.
got to move on. I've got to write my books, you know. I've got a wealth of writing in me, and I have to move on. But I hope that the Unity Guild has left a legacy of authors that people can sit back and say, wow, you know, the African-American community was something else on the new millennium. These were the greatest authors out there. And so if people can pass on that legacy and keep that buzz going, you know, stop the competition, stop the self-hate, stop stealing from one another. Stop talking. Stop fighting on forums. You know, I left all the forums. I'm gone.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
We just thrive. There's room for everybody
yes.
to grow. And I'm just as passionate as I was about what I'm doing since day one.
You can hear it in your voice.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. This is what you want. This is where your love is, your passion
yes.
is. Oh, my goodness, Heather, I got to tell you, this is one of the fastest blow. I had like almost 20 more questions I wanted to ask you, but this interview went so fast. We are down to the last 2 minutes. It just blew by. I have to ask you, this is a question I ask everybody,
yeah.
and I have so many others that I wanted to ask you. So I encourage our listeners again to go visit Heather Covington online at Disigold, DISILGOLD. You can get her through literarydish.com or literarydivas.com. DIVAS.com. She's got a television show launching next week, which will be interactive. She'll take questions from the listeners. She's got a magazine. She's got a radio show. She promotes authors. She does workshops, and she's an author herself. Before we close, Heather, with just a minute left, I wanted to ask what last words of encouragement or advice would you leave with our listeners here at Off the Shelf?
My last words would be to give back to the youth. Because as I teach a new class each year, they're going to be our future leaders, our future authors, and I want them to have that foundation to walk into to be the next discovered author. So everyone has to get ready for my children who are coming up and ready to become the next African-American literary author. Please be here. Please be integral. Please keep doing what you're doing because we don't want to let my children down. They're working
okay.
very hard. They're readers in kindergarten. They're writers. And definitely become a pen pal. Send your letters over to Disigold to some of my kids so I can read them and let them know that you're connecting with them. Let them know that there are famous authors out there that have a message, too, to give back to the kids. And I thank you so much, Denise Turney. You know, I thank you so much. You're such a wonderful spirit. You're such a wonderful host. I just love you so much.
Oh,
so I'm going to spread the word. I'm letting everyone know that I was on Denise Turney's show and, of course, the Bronx will hear about it in New York. And until then, keep reading and writing.
thank you so much for being here with us, Heather. To our listeners, we thank you so much for listening to Off the Shelf. Please tell your family and friends and colleagues and everyone to tune in to us here at Off the Shelf at Blog Talk Radio. And please, today, go over, do yourself a favor, go check out Disigold Soul, DISILGOLD.com. Check out LiteraryDish.com and LiteraryDiva.com. You can Google Heather Covington, and, I mean, a gazillion things will come up because she is so busy not only promoting her own works, but helping support. She works with children to help children in the school system. She also supports other authors. She's a very giving woman, and she travels. You may see her about. Look out for her new children's book series. She said about 50 books. And look out for her TV show next week. So go over to her website today and then just go right over to her TV show so you can listen to the very first airing of her show, because I know it's going to take off. And in the coming days, we'll continue to bring you other authors, movers and shakers in the business like Heather Covington, producers, editors, and agents here at Off the Shelf. And please visit me online at www.chistell.com and pick up my new book, Long Walk Up. Thank you so much, Heather. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Remember that you are so valued, truly loved, and truly blessed. Keep writing and reading great books. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.